you were just having fun. And all of a sudden, things just change. And that tip just should serve to remind us that there comes a time when we just need to stand and face the enemy and open our mouths. And who knows that our big brother, our God, is right there with us. That little cub might have thought that the lion was moving because, you know, it opened its mouth and didn't realize, no, the lion was seeing what was behind you. Amen. You see? And so, friends, as we enter into a new year, I want us to enter into the new year with that type of confidence. That there is a God who's there with us. No matter what circumstances come our way, there's a God who's there. And we just need to turn and face the enemy and to open our mouths. Next week, the Lord's willing, I'll share a little bit on the power of declaration and just how that works to fulfill God's purposes. Today, I just want to share the first part of the series, which I've called, the series is From Victim to Victor. From being a victim to becoming a victor. And this part one I've called Recover, Restore, and Increase. Turn to your neighbor and say, Recover, Restore, and Increase. That's what 2017 is all about. Recovering what the enemy has taken from us, restoring what the enemy has taken from us, and demanding an increase. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It's not a year for us to be backing up. It's a year for us to be going forward. I want to share for a few moments from 1 Samuel chapter 30, a story that many of us are well acquainted with, and from that to draw some principles and some things that we should be able to use to achieve what God wants us to achieve in this new year. 1 Samuel, the background here is David, and most of you should know about David. David was called upon by King Saul. And, first of all, he was anointed by Samuel, and he was still left to take care of the sheep. And then the Israelites were surrounded by the Philistines, and big Goliath was there intimidating the people of God. And David came on the scene, and David slew Goliath by the grace of God, by the power of God. And he proved himself then to be a warrior. King Saul tried to get rid of him, say, you know, if you want to marry to my daughter, then give me the foreskin of 100 Philistines. And David went and got 200 Philistines. And so he proved himself to be a warrior. And as a consequence to that, Saul was fearful of David. And Saul kept chasing David because he felt so insecure. In 1 Samuel 27 verse 1, David said to himself, but David thought to himself, one of these days I'll be destroyed by the hand of Saul. The best thing I can do is escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere in Israel, and I'll slip out of his hand. So David and 600 of his men left and went over to Achish, son of Maacah, king of Gath. So David had to run from Saul, and he spent a lot of time in the wilderness, hiding in caves, hiding from Saul. And eventually he said, I might as well leave the area of the Israelites and go and be in the midst of the enemies of God, the Philistines. And so he went to Achish and to Gath. That is one of the five cities of the Philistines. And there, God showed him favor. There, he was able to approach Achish and say to him, listen, I don't want to be in the royal city. You know, give me a little country town for me and my men to stay in. And Achish gave him Ziklag. He found favor in the sight of Achish, and he was able to find somewhere to live and to be there. But that favor had some strings attached to it. And one of the strings was that whenever Achish was to go to war, he would call upon David and his men to support him. You're not going to live in this area and not support us when we're going to war. And we see that in 1 Samuel 28, it says that in those days the Philistines gathered their forces to fight against Israel. Achish said to David, you must understand that you and your men will accompany me in the army. That was part of the agreement. And so as they were going, the men from the other Philistine cities, They didn't like this idea of having David there because David had a reputation. They knew he was a Jew. And so eventually they decided that we really don't feel comfortable with him here. And so David and his men were asked to leave and to go back to Ziklag. And so that's where our story picks up in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And it says in verse 1, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. So it's a three-day journey. So he must have been gone from home for at least a week. Now the Amalekites had raided in the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it. And so as I saw that little bear there in that clip, enjoying himself, and suddenly the enemy came against him, it reminded me that many times you and I were busy just doing our regular life, doing sometimes the things of God, and then all of a sudden the enemy attacks us unaware. David was falling upon his obligation to be there with Achish, and when he comes back, I can imagine from a distance they're seeing the smoke, and they're perhaps wondering, what's going on? And when they got back to Ziklag, they realized that the Amalekites had come in and had burned the place to the ground. And all of their women and children had been taken, and their livestock had been taken by the enemy. What a life. I mean, it's hard to even imagine what it was like for David. It's one thing to burn the camp, it's the next thing to lose your family. He lost both of his wives, and the men lost their wives and their children. And the men were so in so much grief that the idea was, you know what? We perhaps need to stone David because this is all David's fault. That's part of what happens to us as humans. When we get into certain situations, we're trying to find somebody to blame. And we start to blame people around us and blame government. That's one of the things that people like to blame the government or to blame some sort of system. And the reality is that there's an enemy who's at work oftentimes behind all of that, behind the system, behind the government, behind the individual. There's an enemy who is at work. And so Paul says to us in Ephesians 6, the rest is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And so we need to realize that we have an enemy whose ideal is to see the destruction of you and me. And so the enemy came in and destroyed the camp. And David's men, their way of trying to deal with the situation was to think and to discuss amongst themselves, perhaps we need to stone this guy. They'd left their property and stuff, and they thought it was safe, following after David, and look what has happened to them. And the circumstance was of such, we call it overwhelming circumstance, that even the men and David wept and cried because of the loss that they had experienced, the difficulties that they had been through. And because the men were talking about stoning David, David was like, what on earth am I to do? What is it to do? You find yourself in a hard place. And so David, the Bible says, strengthened himself in the Lord. One version says he encouraged himself in the Lord, which suggests to me he had to find a place where he could remind himself of the goodness of God, remind himself of how God has been faithful to him, to remind himself of the miracles of God, and to, I believe, use that as a springboard perhaps to worship the Lord, to do what he knows best, which is to be a worshiper. And to worship God irrespective of the circumstances. To exalt the name of the Lord. Because the Bible says to us in another place in Nehemiah that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so David was able to I believe, exalt the name of the Lord despite his circumstances. It's easy to praise God when things are going great. But the real proof of whether or not we truly want to praise God is when things are difficult, when things are bad. And so David found strength in the Lord. David cried out and worshiped God and magnified God. And I believe David then said to the priest, go and find out from the Lord whether or not we should pursue the enemies. And the priest went and came back with the word of the Lord saying, go ahead and pursue the enemy. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Verse 8, it says, "And David inquired of the Lord, 'Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?' 'Pursue them,' he answered, 'you will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue.'" So David got the word from the Lord that he is to pursue the enemy and he will be successful. There comes a point, my friends, where you just get tired of being beaten left, right, and center by the enemy. And somebody has lied to the church into believing if we just ignore the enemy, everything will be all right. And it doesn't work like that. All it does is give him more room to bring destruction and chaos into our lives. And so I believe David reached a point where he drew a line in the sand. Is that there's no more backing up to back up. Something has to be done. A change needs to take place. A change in perspective, a change in attitude. It's no time for us to advance against the enemy. There is no peaceful coexistence between the church and the works of darkness. So get that into our minds, into our skulls, and to realize there's no such thing. And so it's time, friends. Many of us, the enemy has come in and has created havoc in our lives. He has robbed us of our health, robbed us of our finances, robbed us of our children, and we're still sitting there wondering, what are we supposed to do? It's time to draw a line in the sand and say, enough is enough. That's what David did. He decided, it's enough is enough. And David was ready to go, but he said, let me just check with the Lord. Now, we don't have to check anymore because we already know. We can see from Scripture how God wants us to respond. That God never wants us to back up from the enemy. He wants us to turn and focus upon the enemy and to walk from victory unto victory. Amen. To not have and live with this mentality of being a victim. No, God has called us to be victorious. It says it there time and time and time again in the Scriptures. He leads us in triumph over and over again against our enemy. And so I'm encouraging us this year to have this mentality inside of us that says, I'm not going to take any more licks from the enemy. He's going to have to experience a toll for every time he comes against me and my family. Enough is enough. You know, I was minding my own business, seeking the Lord, walking with the Lord last year. When the enemy decided to, I don't know what he was trying to do, attack my finances or something. So the first thing that happened was sometime in, I don't know, August or September. You know, I always check my accounts online. And I noticed there were two credits on my credit card that I didn't do. It was on a Sunday and I'm at church, to Amazon. And I'm like, what on earth is this? So when I saw it, fortunately it was still pending, so I went over to the bank and got them to cancel that credit card. And I'm like, devil, how dare you come and try and touch my finances? But, you know, I said, well, those things happen. Then around a week or so before Thanksgiving, a letter comes in the mail to my wife from Chase Bank. Chase Bank, where is that? Somewhere in Manhattan, somewhere. Somebody tried to get a credit card in her name, and the bank realized it's fraudulent and the information wasn't consistent, so they sent this letter, so she was able to call that number and to get all of that dealt with. And I'm like, devil, what on earth? What's going on here? I'm just busy trying to seek the Lord, and you are trying to rob me of my finances. A couple of days, 2 to 3 days after that, I got an alert on my phone. Several years ago, I was involved in a business adventure, or business venture, that after I left it, they got hacked. And so that company had given me this Protect ID account, which I take note, and so every month Protect ID tells me your accounts are fine. But this time, the alert was key changes to your credit profile. I'm like, key changes? So when I went online, I realized that somebody tried to open a credit card from Discover Cards. I'm like, what on earth? So I called Protect ID, and they told me I need to call Discover Cards, and Protect ID said they put a security alert on my credit profile. And I'm like, devil, why are you trying to get my attention? You know, devil's like a little dog that just there just bothering you at your foot. And it's about time for you to just put him in his cage. I'm like, devil, what's up? So we got, I had to get that dealt with. And then like 2 or 3 days after that, another alert. This time from Chase Bank, for me this time. Somebody is still trying to get an account in my name, a credit card. And I'm like, the devil is so persistent. So we had to go further and put a fraud alert in my credit account now. And thought, okay, we should be fine. And then about a week before Christmas, the devil tries again. And I'm like, okay, devil, you get my attention now. No, you have to go and pay. No, you understand what I'm saying, friends? It's not just enough to recover. I think there needs to be a toll that the devil has to pay for all of the disturbance and all the ways which he has tried to come against me. Amen. And so we're able to also get that dealt with. And I'm here to say to us, friends, that the enemy is on the prowl. And if you and I think we cannot sit back and bury our heads in the sand, then the devil have a field day. And many of you know what I'm talking about. The enemy has tried to come against you in different ways in your life, in your finances, in your health, in your families. Everything was going fine, and then suddenly you wake up and realize that your children are gone. Your children have slipped away. And I believe God is saying to us as a church, it's time to draw a line in the sand to go and recover everything that the enemy has taken from us and to have it restored and to demand an increase. Yes. So 1 Samuel 30 and verses 16 and 17 tells me that David went and pursued and he found an Egyptian who told him where to find the enemy. And verse 16 says, he led David down and there they were, scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking and reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. David had to fight. Verse 17, David fought from dusk until the evening of the next day, and none of them got away except for 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. Friends, there comes a time when you have to fight. There comes a time when you have to let the enemy realize that you understand who you are as a child of the king, that you're an heir of the Father, and enough is enough. Right. We can't say, well, I don't want... No, he's coming against you. You might as well put on the full armor of God and fight. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 6. Verse 18 says, David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. David brought back everything. Friends, stop believing the lie that says that we have to suffer loss. That's a lie from the pit of hell. If God gives you something, you don't have to suffer no loss. The Bible says that the children of the believer is holy to the Lord. They're separated to the Lord, which means that we have a promise, just the same promise that the Philippian jailer got, that for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So don't buy into this lie of the enemy where, you know, not all of our children are going to serve the Lord. No, it's a lie from the pit of hell. I believe God wants to save not just me, but my entire household. Amen. And so if the enemy has your child, you need to make a toll upon the enemy. I'm going to tell you what a toll is in a little bit. But David will cover everything. Every single thing and more. Do you know that? Every single thing and more. So much so that 200 of the men couldn't go with them on a journey. They were tired. But he still shared the plunder with them. And if you come on down to verse 26. It says, when David arrived in Ziklag, he sent some of the plunder to the elders of Judah, who were his friends, saying, here's a present for you from the plunder of the Lord's enemies. He sent it to those who were in Bethel, Ramoth, Negev, and Jatir, and to those in, and he mentioned several different cities. In other words, the plunder was so great, there was so much of an increase, he could share it with others who didn't even know what was happening. And so I decided, I said, devil, you sort of come against my finances. I'm demanding an increase so I can invest in the kingdom of God, so I can touch some lives, yeah. Even though people who don't understand what's happening. Got to take a toll. What does the Bible say? If a thief is caught, what should he do? He's supposed to pay back. He's supposed to pay back. And in Proverbs it says he's supposed to pay back what? Sevenfold. I don't know if you have it in your Bible. But Proverbs 6 verse 30 and 31 tells me that. Let me see if I can find it in my scriptures here. I know it's an outline, and it should be in your list of blessings and declarations that you have there, that other sheet that you should have gotten in the middle of your bulletin. It says, Proverbs 6, verse 30, says, men, do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he's starving. Yet if he's caught, he must pay sevenfold, though it cost him all the wealth of his house. That's scripture. And so I'm saying, devil, you're a thief and a liar. And so you are caught and you gotta have to pay. You're gonna pay a toll for all of the trouble, all of the stuff you tried to bring into my life. It's time to take a toll. Friends, what I'm saying to us, if the enemy comes in and has robbed you of your children, it's time to take a toll. Not only do I want my son saved, but I want seven of his friends to come along with him into the kingdom of God. You understand what I'm saying? And so when you start to pray, not just praying for your son, but you're praying for his friends, all of them will come into the kingdom of God, experience the power of God, and be on fire for God. You see, and when the church starts to function like that and to think like that, the enemy will think 1,000 times before he comes and harasses your family. You got to take a toll. It's time for us to rise up and to realize it's not just getting back what the enemy took from me. It's much more. David didn't leave the plunder and say, well, you know, what are we going to do with all this? No, we're going to take that plunder and we're going to share it with others and we're going to bless them so the purposes of God can be established and the name of the Lord will be exalted. It's time to take a toll. My goodness. So I have some simple principles here. The first principle is that the enemy is on the prowl and will attack. 1 Peter 5 says that. Your adversary, the enemy, is like a roaring lion seeking somebody to devour. He's gonna come against you at some point in time. Paul says you must put on the full armor of God so you might be able to stand your ground in that evil day. There will come a day when he comes against you. And Paul says in Ephesians 6 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Each one of us need to understand where to find our strength in the Lord despite external circumstances. Each one of us needs to draw a line in the sand. There is a law that they call stand your ground law. How many have heard of that law, stand your ground? Yeah. I just realized that even the very wording of that comes from Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 13, Paul says, reading from NIV, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. So if the world is saying we should stand our ground and be prepared to stand our ground, how much more should the Christian, the believer, understand that we are the ones that are supposed to stand our ground when the enemy seems like he's coming against us? We must stand our ground and we must let the enemy know who is in charge. That this is a day and an era where you and I understand that we have on the full armor of God, we are armed to the T, and the enemy is supposed to be afraid of you and afraid of me. And so Paul says we must put on the full armor of God so we might be able to stand our ground, and after you have done everything, to be able to stand. Draw a line in the sand and say, devil, enough is enough. No longer are you going to continue to rob me of my peace and my joy. No longer are you coming and disturb my health. All that has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. All of those things have been promised to me. Therefore, devil, get yourself out of here, because what? I am the one who's now on the attack. I am the one now who is being the aggressor, because I understand who I am. And I have been given the authority to go and to make disciples of all nations. We are supposed to be going, and the signs and the wonders are supposed to be following us, which include sick being healed, demons being cast out. It's time to draw a line in the sand. You and I need to know our spiritual rights. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. Time is going. You and I need to know our spiritual rights and all the benefits and promises. I just wanted to give us a one sheet page there with some of the benefits and promises of the Lord to us. You and I need to realize that there comes a time when we have to exercise authority to take back what the enemy has stolen. When the devil takes something from you, he doesn't just come and return it. You have to exercise authority to get it back. We need to understand the power of declaration, how to declare and to receive an increase. And Isaiah says that he'll give us double for our trouble. Double for the shame and all the stuff that the enemy brought into our life. The Lord will give us double for that. And so you and I need to realize that God is not just sitting back wondering, you know, what the devil is up to. You understand what the devil is up to. He's there wondering, why is this church not exercising the authority that is given unto them? When Jesus came on the scene, he walks into the synagogue and the devil is one crying out, why have you come to destroy us? Jesus was never under the defense when it came to the enemy. It was the enemy who was always on the defense when it came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it should be the same for the church. It should be the same for me and for you. And so as we enter into a new year, I want us to have this mindset. That devil, everything you took from me in 2016 and the years before, I want to recover. This is a year of recovery. But it's one thing to recover something. Sometimes you recover something, but it's still in a bad shape. It needs to be restored. You see, it needs to be put back together. The relationships need to be mended. Some of you have had some relationships that have been severed. It's time for some of those to be mended. Some need to remain severed because they were bad. But some are good relationships. They are family relationships that need to be restored. And this should be a year of restoration. But that's not enough. This is supposed to be a year where we receive an increase. An increase in seeing souls being brought into the kingdom. An increase in seeing your finances being changed. An increase in your health condition. It's a year to recover, to restore, and to increase. Let's just stand. And so next week we'll talk a little bit more about the power of declaration. But just to give you a little insight, the word of the Lord, when God speaks, it has the power within it to accomplish what God says. And that word in my mouth and in your mouth will accomplish the same thing. And so that's why it's important to understand the word of God and to declare the word of God into our lives, into our circumstances, and to see them change. But maybe in this house this morning, let's just bow our heads. Maybe in this house this morning, there's somebody here who's saying, Joe Campbell, the start of a new year. I want to recommit myself to the Lord this morning. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand. Anybody in this house who needs to recommit themselves to the Lord this morning? Great. Now, the second thing I want us to do, for those of you who have that sheet that came in your bulletin called Promises, Blessings, and Declarations, I'm going to ask you to take it out. We didn't give you just for you to put it there so you can throw it away next week. On page 2, at the end of page 2, the last two paragraphs, are two prayers, actually one that is in two parts. And I want us to pray those prayers over your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor, lay hands on them, touch them, and let's just pray those two paragraphs over each other. Let's do it now. And I'm going to pray a prayer of impartation for each and every one of us. You just need to receive it by faith. Father, we declare that we are the children of the Most High God.
Yes.
Lord, we declare that we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God.
Yes.
And so, Lord, we declare that we are no longer slaves to fear.
Yes.
We are no longer in bondage to sin.
Amen.
Lord, we are the overcomers. And yes. Lord, we declare 2017 to be a year of victory.
Yes.
Lord, a year when we move from glory to glory.
Yes.
From
Hallelujah.
Faith to faith.
Yes.
A year where we see an increase in our passion for God.
Yes.
A year of increase, oh God, in your presence in our lives. Lord, a year of increase, oh God, in our health.
Yes.
Increase in our wealth in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, a year when we see our children, our loved ones more on fire for you than ever before.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of
Lord,
Jesus.
We draw a line in the sand and we cut off every curse more for our lives.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, we declare, oh God, that the enemy is under retreat in the name of Jesus
yes.
Christ. Lord, we pray that you might increase in our lives. And Lord, we receive more of you in 2017 in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, I declare to your people, oh God, are rising to fulfill their destiny. They are rising, oh God, to understand who they are. And oh God, they're walking in might with their heads up. And Lord, you are leading them from victory to victory. Father God, we thank you, God. We call forth back into the kingdom, oh God, the prodigal children, the prodigal sons and daughters. We say this is a year to return to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. And Lord, not only do we want them back, but Lord, we want seven of their friends in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. This is the year, oh God, where we see our families being restored. And so Lord, we speak restoration to families in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, mighty God. Oh, we worship you this day. Lord, I declare, oh God, this be a year of increase, a year of victory, a year, oh God, where we see lives being transformed for the glory of Almighty God. Lord, may we experience more and more of your kingdom this year. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.
And amen. You're wrong. Father, as we've had that blessing spoken over us, Lord, let us go home and meditate upon that today. Let us think about that. Lord, let us look and see if we can order our lives in such a way that we have less distractions and a focus more intent upon you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.